Morning. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 60, if you have your device or your Bible along with you. Happy Mother's Day to you. One of the dreams of many a young lady is to someday get married and later on have some children. Once arrived at that plateau, quite a few of them have a few second thoughts. It proves to be a harder life than they may have imagined. Well, for those ladies, I'd like to pass along a little advice that I picked up along the way. Make at least one day of the year a little bit easier for them. I tell my kids, writes James Knowles, Santa is fat because he eats the children who get up early on Christmas morning. That way I get to sleep in. We're going to take a different angle at Mother's Day this year. What if all the birthing, bathing, burping, bundling, bruising, building, buffeting, binding, and blossoming was for a greater purpose? What if it, from the very beginning of the journey, you envisioned nation building instead of just becoming a soccer mom? Genesis chapter 24 and verse 60 reads, And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Father, we look to you this morning and ask, what in the world do you have in mind today? And we're praying that you will reveal to us your will, your heart, that you'll peel away from us the waxy buildup that has come from living in this world, the things we have heard, the things that we have come to believe that are not biblical. But bring us back to you, Lord God, to real wisdom and grace. And we'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The King James Version reads this way, And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. These are the last words that Rebekah's family spoke to her before she got up on a camel and left for good. Imagine your daughter's going to college or what have you, and what's the last thing you want to say? What's the last message that you want to convey? What contact? Now, of course, in those days, there were no cell phones. There were no telegraphs. There wasn't even Pony Express. They know that as they send Rebekah off to marry a guy far, far away, they'll probably never even hear from her again. They've raised her. They love her. And they want to pin something on. This is the special goodbye moment. This is what they want to communicate to this young lady. May you have many children, in fact, millions, and may they rule. Interesting. That was the definition of success in those days. Lots of descendants and secure borders. And if you think about it, they go hand in hand, don't they? If you're going to protect yourself as a nation, you need a lot of people. If you have a lot of people, you probably have secure borders. Nobody's going to be messing with you. And so that was the point of view. That was the perspective from that generation. A couple of chapters earlier in Genesis, we read this. God saying it to Abraham. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. I had to do a double take on that scripture. In fact, I looked it up again this morning to make sure I didn't get my scriptures confused. Because back in Bible college, they taught us about the Abrahamic blessing. And the Abrahamic blessing was that God said to Abraham, I will give you a lot of descendants, and that through his offspring all the earth would be blessed. And, you know, we look forward to Jesus coming and being the Savior of the world. Through his offspring all the world would be blessed. But we never really looked at that one. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Well, that's interesting. God had something in mind. He meant for the righteous to rule. He meant for the earth to do well and people to prosper and be safe, because the righteous, his people, would rule. I feel a little naughty saying that. I feel a little radical, extremist by saying that. But it's the word of God. Indeed, he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Please understand that a lot of what we have come to believe, a lot that has come to be our philosophy of life, has not come from God's word. A lot of it has come from the influence of the world, of the society in which we live. And there are other agendas than God's agenda. And they often press in and mess with our thinking, and we can ingest some of the wrong stuff even while we're trying to do what is right and to do what is good. We've been told that there's a population explosion and people are ruining the planet. I remember a bumper sticker I saw one time said, save the baby humans. I like that. We're all about whales. We're all about trees. We're all about this. We're all about that. I believe that God is all about people. Save the baby humans. Don't have kids if you can't afford to send them to college. Your grandparents were probably raised in a family with 8 kids, a 2-bedroom house with an outhouse. But today we can't have a child unless they have their own bedroom, their own bathroom, and a clear path to a doctorate. Today, a large family is one with 2.6 children. Sadly, Christians have embraced these philosophies, allowing others to fill and subdue the earth. I know you're thinking about what church you're going to visit next Sunday. But think about it. Think about it. Now, some wonderful Christian families aren't able to have children. A number of people are not called to have children. Jesus never had any kids. Jesus said, you know, if you can embrace celibacy, then for the kingdom of God, if you're called to that, that's a good thing. But still the mandate is there. Abraham and Sarah had one child. Isaac and Rebekah, remember the young lady they blessed, have millions of kids. They had a set of twins. But it wasn't for lack of trying. And even when the twins came along, it was after a long season of infertility. But they kept trying. Bearing and raising children is still a godly mandate. Becoming a mother is a godly thing to do. Perhaps not for every woman, but certainly for most. The lady who feels it's her calling to be a mother is to be blessed, is to be praised, is to be honored. Imagine back in Rebecca's day, every family in the neighborhood was trying to become the largest family. Ha! It was like a contest. They were quite competitive. Some guys even went out and got extra wives just so they could pad the nest. Large families were seen as a blessing. I was reading through Chronicles recently in my devotions in the morning, and I noticed this one dude had 20 sons and 3 daughters. The Bible says he had 20 sons and 3 daughters because God greatly blessed him. Whew. What if you woke up one morning and you had 23 kids? Would you say, "Oh boy"? Or, "Oh wow, woe's me"? But I want to point out to you how our thinking has changed over time. We've got more money, more tools, automatic washing machines. We have dishwashers now. And we can't have any children because we're just too busy. We've got too much to do. Can I say that our values have changed? Our values used to be people. Our values used to be children. But our values have changed to things. And that value system has robbed us of much of the joy of our life. We thought we could entertain ourselves happy, and it's not working so good. Food was a real issue back in the day. How are you going to feed all those kids? Clean water, drought, illness, disease, famine. Their plan was not to keep the family small so that there was enough. Their plan was to have enough so that some would survive. To have enough that maybe we could get to that genius that is born and he or she would lighten our burden with the next great invention or breakthrough. Have many in order to do more, plant more, harvest more, conquer more. Maybe it's you or you've heard the stories of it. Back in the day on the farm, they used to have kids because those were the hands. And those hands went to work. And with more of us, we can do more. You see, the people in Rebecca's day understood today's fleeting. It's going to be gone like that. What it's all about is planting seed for the future. And if we're going to have a future, we need to have people who are ready to man that future. We have to have good people. We have to have right people who are in position. How many couples today postpone having children, waiting until they have everything that's on their list? They have to have the right house, the right cars, the right this, the right that. There will be a time for children. You know what a dink is? Dual income, no kids. Dinks is what we call them. There's lots of money coming in. They've got careers. They've toured the world. And then the day comes where they, okay, now let's have a child. And so many of them find out that they've passed their opportunity. If they're fortunate enough to have a child and they hold that baby in their arms, they wonder, what in the world were we thinking? How did we delay this for that? Why were we so now-centered, so self-centered? But our text isn't just about having a lot of kids. Our text is about vision. Our text is about the future. Rebecca wasn't just a much-loved daughter and sister. She was a valuable link into the future, and she was seen as that. She was loved for her, but also everybody knew, you're important to us. You have a role to play. It's not just about your comfort, just about your entertainment. It's about us moving forward and doing what God has called us to do. He wants the righteous to rule. And if the righteous don't rule, who then does? What is the result of unrighteous rule? It's untold pain and suffering. So, Rebecca, you need to do your job. You need to raise up children. You need to raise them up under God. Because if we don't have enough, if we don't have enough believers, if we don't have enough people dedicated, then we're going to be oppressed by the philosophies of the evil one, and he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Part of who we are is our ability to reproduce and then instill in our offspring a mission, a godly world view. Can you answer this question? Why are you here? Why are you here? Can you help your child answer that question? How did you get here? And why are you here? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We were created by Him and for Him. We find our highest fulfillment when we give ourselves back to Him. I am here to serve the Lord. I am here to worship Him. I am here to serve Him. I am here to find out what His will for me is and do it. That's why I was created. I will find my greatest joy, my greatest sense of fulfillment when I answer that mandate, because that's why I was created. I can use my life for other things. I can be self-serving. But it leads nowhere. It leads to a dead end. I become part of the problem rather than part of the solution. We are here to serve the Lord, and we have been gifted by Him to serve Him. For far too long, the evil one has been pumping over the airwaves that we are here because we are the center of the universe. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Enjoy as much as you can. If it feels good, do it. It's all about you. If you're not being served, something has to change. You are the master of your universe, and on these things come. Don't do anything that cramps your style. Kids will only slow you down. If you have a large family, think about all the things you're going to have to give up in order to take care of them. We had our grandson over the other night, and my wife had bought this little Lego set that she and Parker put together. And it was one of the pieces was a helicopter, and say a fireman's helicopter. And there's a little blue piece of plastic that comes out that's to symbolize the water that's coming out of his hose to put a fire out. Parker's 2.5 years old. And he's looking at this thing and he goes, oh, I got water in my eye. He squirted me. And Barb and I laughed. We hadn't had such a good laugh in such a long time. You want to have a good life? You want to enjoy yourself? You want to have precious moments? I know there's sleepless nights and there's puke. Babies love that and all this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, it's worth it all and so much more. Even with all the hype and propaganda that's been fed to us, we instinctively are drawn back to marriage and family. Why is that when families are so expensive, babies are so hard, children are so exhausting? Could it be that it's because they're also our hope, our future, our joy, and our delight? Mom, what if instead of mapping out how many children you think you could afford, you decided to change the world and to do it by raising kids dedicated to the kingdom of God? Lord, give me children, and I'll give them back to you. My only care, my only plea, Lord God, is that they love you with all their heart and they serve you with all of their life. What were your dreams for your child as they were still in the oven, still being formed? And that's not a number, that's a vision. That's a purpose. That's a mission. A mom like that wouldn't choose to take her kid to soccer on Sunday morning instead of church. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to get legalistic on you. We used to live in Dover, and there was a fire company by us and all these soccer fields. And all year long, I was the only guy on the highway coming to church until soccer season started. And at 7 o'clock, I would leave the house to head over to church, and the fields were already full, and there were just hundreds of little kids running all around. And you know, the same families who can't get up to go to church on Sunday morning because that's their only day of rest, they go to worship on the soccer field. I'm just saying, if our priorities were right, our lives would be different. A mother who had that vision, I'm going to raise kids dedicated to doing the will of God. A person like that wouldn't be feathering their own nest. She'd all be all about the future. A future she imagines where her offspring would possess the gates of her enemies. She would not be worried about this is taking over and that's in charge. No, we're going to do something about it. Well, what kind of gates do our enemies now possess that we really should be watching? How about that one? How about that? We're in trouble, friends. I'm just telling you. We are in trouble politically. We have disconnected righteousness from wisdom. And we don't care what a candidate does in their private life. We think they could still lead us so well. The entertainment industry. Can you imagine what God could do with the technology we have in entertainment if the people of God held those gates? You've seen some good movies that have, you know, made you love your spouse more and embrace your kids a little bit tighter and get a better grip on God. And you've also seen some entertainment that filled you with filth and trash and messed us all up. Isn't that a gate we ought to possess? Shouldn't we have some children going into that industry and saying, you go take it over. We could do better than what has been done so far. Oh, man. We could use ourselves some professors in the colleges and universities. We could use ourselves some godly people who started shaping the hearts and the minds of our young ones. Oh, that's a gate I want to possess. In medicine, in law, in the environmental issues, it's believers that ought to take the lead, because if we're not leading, guess who is? But we've been sitting back. We've been just so we're okay. We've got plenty. We want a little bit more. Maybe we could add this or we could do that next vacation. Wealth is a drug that has dumbed us. And we're so gone on making a little bit more money that we have lost the attention of our children,
They have lost our attention. We're allowing somebody else to raise them, indoctrinate them, shape and form them. We have no time because we want a few more dollars. And it dawned on me this morning while I was thinking about this, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to be inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, obey the scripture." "Well, I've done all that. I've done all that." "Well, here's what you need to do. Go and sell everything you possess and come and follow me." And we see that from our Western point of view. And we think, "Oh, man, I hope Jesus never says that to me because I really love my cordless drill." We don't understand. Jesus was setting him free from the burden of his life. And we are so bought into, "I need enough money for this, and I need a little bit more for that." Some of us are chasing debt. We're down that far. Others are chasing the future, debt that isn't even here yet. We got to have more. We got to have more. We got to have more. And we forgot about the basics of life. We visit poor countries and come home astounded that they're all happy. How in the world can they be happy when they don't have a different shirt for every day of the week? And we have been duped, my friends. And we got the short end of the stick. But here's the good news. You don't have to be a mom to buy into this vision and have an effect on it. Even if you never had a kid, even if you're past the age of childbearing, you and I can stop believing and passing along the lies of the enemy. It can be subtle. "Look at them. They have 3 kids already and they're going to have another." That was not asked just a generation ago. We get these attitudes. When did 4 become a large family? You can stop thinking in opposition to God's commands because you think it's more convenient for you. How many would say, "That's exactly the Mother's Day message I was hoping for today"? That's what I envisioned. When they, "We're going to church for Mother's Day." Maybe not. But I'd like to thank every woman who ever tried to have a child. I'd like to thank every lady that went through the pains of childbirth. I'd like to honor every sacrifice, every tear, every loss, every expense you've paid to help raise a human being. That's an amazing journey, isn't it? You never thought you'd take your shirt tail and blow a kid's nose, did you? Time comes. I've watched little girls grow up and become moms. I've watched little girls who shriek at the sight of a spider, just a daddy long legs. I've seen that same young lady when the spider was close to their child become Wonder Woman and made that spider sorry it ever set one of those little feet in this world. You go, Mom. You rock. If you're a mom, or if you ever helped to raise a child, would you please stand this morning? If you had a hand, and maybe it was even a younger brother or sister. Maybe it's an aunt. You're an aunt. Let's give them a hand, shall we? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now go change the world. Go change the world. Teach your children about Jesus. Train them how to treat others. Challenge them to be great. Danielle, you should stand up too. I know you, those little nieces of yours, you're always, they've got a part of you or you've got a part of them all the time. But don't think short term. Getting on the honor roll, into a good college, having a fine career, making enough money. Think big, think long term. Save the planet, turn mankind back to the Lord. Leave a legacy. Teach that to your children. You're not just a kid. You're not just a human being. You are a child of God. And that makes all the difference. Hear this. We think way too small when we think about making money, having fun, enjoying life. Is that what they said to Rebecca? You're going off to get married, dear. I hope you get yourself a fine education, you make a whole lot of money, and you have a hoot of a time. Is that what they said? Is that what God said to Abraham? Abraham, I love you, pal, and because I love you, you're going to have a wonderful time in this life. You know, I'm gonna Disneyland is yours, pal. Just fun and games all over the place. No, God said, I love you, and because I love you, many descendants, they're going to roll. Now go do your job, Abraham, and I'll do mine. Imagine there's a heaven to gain and an earth to be subdued. Be the best you possibly can be, a mom anointed of the Holy Spirit, raising godly children. What could a couple kids do? You'd be amazed at what just one can do when they're under the anointing of God. Amen. God called a Moses. God raised up a Paul. God anointed a David. And we need heroes of God today. This is a good one to take along with you and chew on for a while. Perhaps we've harmed ourselves by thinking the time is short and it's all about getting ready to leave. That's important, but someone's got to start fixing what has been broken. If all our Christians are ready to leave, we're just going to heaven real soon, and that's great. I love thinking about that myself. But perhaps we have harmed our children and our grandchildren, not worried about the mess that's going to be left behind when we go to be with Him. And maybe it's time for us as believers to turn our attention back to what is and say, oh Lord, we want to possess the gates of our enemies. They've eaten our lunch for far too long, and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to teach our children the difference between right and wrong, and we're going to raise them to serve our God. Someone's got to start living for God instead of for themselves. Every cup of cold water, every popsicle given out, every packed lunch. Imagine, and I don't know if there is such a thing as packed lunches anymore. I'm pretty old, but imagine every packed lunch being prayed over. Maybe a scripture slipped in there. Maybe an encouragement. KTF, keep the faith. Mom's praying for you today. I'm telling you, it could change the world. Would you stand with me this morning?